Welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast, hosted by Dave Roberts. Humanity possesses a unique skill, the ability to pass knowledge from one generation to the next. This podcast embraces that ability, offering learning opportunities through conversations with extraordinary guests. Dave aims to leave a positive mark on individuals around the world. So before you dive into today's episode, please share this podcast with your network, including friends, family, and colleagues. And please consider leaving a rating or review. Your support makes all the difference.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts. And today it is my pleasure to have as my guest, Chris Mamone. Chris Mamone is an acceptance coach and the founder of the Empowered Grief Journey Coaching Practice and Podcast. He helps individuals move from a place of pain into a place of hope and empowerment through their grief. Chris supports those navigating grief, loss, and trauma to rediscover self-acceptance and step into their personal power so they can create an inspiring future grounded in healing, truth, and purpose. And with that, Chris, welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm very excited to have you on the program today.
Well, Dave, thank you for having me on the show, and thank you for that wonderful introduction. I'm really excited to have this conversation with you today.
And I'm excited as well. And we got to give a shout out to Steve Ramona. And Steve has this unique gift in terms of hooking up potential guest contributors with the right podcast. And he did a video introduction with the two of us and led us to this moment. And I had been following you on Facebook and other forms of social media and was aware of the good work you'd been doing anyway. But when Steve did the formal introduction, I said, yeah, it was meant for us to connect. And I'm glad we're at this point today.
Likewise. And I want to say thank you to Steve as well. I got to meet Steve on a whim because a friend of mine that I connected with in the podcast world when I got my podcast going 2.5 months ago, he's the guy that got me connected with Steve. And that was a podcast episode. He was trying to bring Steve and a couple other people together on a Saturday. And I said, yeah, you know what? I'll jump on that podcast. And what do you know? Steve introduces you to me, or me to you. And it was just been a great time ever since we connected. So big shout out to Steve for being the good connector for us.
Absolutely. And with that, I guess we might as well get going because I have some questions.
I've got some answers for you, Dave.
That is good, because if you didn't have any answers, this would be a really long podcast because I'd have to be talking to myself, which wouldn't be good. Although when I talk to myself, I know somebody's listening.
I love that.
But anyway, enough with my poor attempt at humor. Let's get right on to the podcast and the questions. And first of all, please tell our listeners about the experiences that have contributed to your life path and your life passions today.
So what I'll share with you guys really quickly, in a lot of ways, grief chose me. And in the last year or two, I had decided to choose grief. We were like two friends that always were trying to connect and make sense of things, and it never really happened until recently. What I'll share with you guys is back in 2020, I watched my grandfather take his last breath from terminal cancer. He fought a long, hard battle. The man never complained. That was a very pivotal moment in my life because it was the first time I really experienced the end of life and what that actually is. And that was very, very powerful movement that I now see as a gift, but it was incredibly painful in the moment. 2 years after that, I lost my first son to stillborn after 12 years of infertility. And so that was another big moment in my life where grief changed and shaped me. And I'll say that that one was the one that changed and broke me in a lot of ways. And so I oftentimes equate that to, if you guys ever put puzzles together, and I know we're living on digital iPad puzzles, but the box puzzles with 2,000 pieces, just imagine throwing that in the air and having to pick up all the pieces. That's what that felt like in that moment. But what I realized is going through these losses was actually a gift. It was not something terrible. It wasn't a bad experience for me. It was actually a gift hidden underneath everything. And what I learned is that I have a very big gift for holding space for people going through grief. I had to fight through my own grief in a very isolated way. I didn't have a lot of support. And what I found is that there's a lot of people who do go through similar situations like me and grief and other avenues of life that don't have people that hold space for them. And so they walk around holding this grief in, and grief can go out in very many ways, even when you least expect it. And so I feel very honored and very blessed to have had the opportunity to work in the grief space as a coach and help people navigate their grief journeys. I don't always have all the answers, but I will say that by holding space for people to process their emotions and feelings, process their grief in whatever way that needs to come for them, has helped some people work through some of the toughest challenges that come along with this path.
And, you know, the thing is that when we are allowed to create space and are trusted enough to create space for other people's stories, that counts to me as one of the most intimate periods of their lives. I mean, you talk about getting married, talk about your first relationship, you talk about divorce, you talk about end of life, you talk about death or transition or passing on, however individuals choose to conceptualize that. Those are all intimate moments in our lives that we trust very few people with. And once we win that trust, it inspires me and it validates me as somebody that is seen as having the integrity and the trust and being safe enough to share that intimate piece of their life with. So it's an awesome responsibility, and it's also an inspiring one.
It really is. I've honestly been very blessed to be part of these people's walks of life. And I tell people that doing grief coaching is having a partner to walk through you, even in the days you feel fine and the days where life just feels like it's falling apart in every way possible. And I've gotten to just hear beautiful stories from people that have gone through loss in so many ways. As I've told Dave, and I'll share with you guys who are listening, I do have my own podcast, and I've done 60 episodes so far, and that's 60 people. Everybody says, you know, good work on 60 episodes. But what I always try to focus on and share is those are 60 people that have gone through grief, loss, or trauma in whatever way it came across in their life. And what a lot of people don't know, by the way, is those 60 people are out in the world doing beautiful work just like me. And so as much as my podcast guests have shared their story and what they're doing good in the world, they've also shown me how to reciprocate and go about in the world and still continue to create something powerful and meaningful myself. And so it's been a wonderful journey in my own podcast to hear stories and be able to hold space for these individuals. Because I've had people come on my show with the intention not to share many personal details of things. And I've had people open up out of the blue and share a very deep part of their grief that they never shared with somebody before. For them to feel safe, like Dave was alluding to, for them to feel safe enough to share those deepest parts of their wounds and their grief journey, that's where the growth is found. And it's such a beautiful moment.
And when we're allowed to be present for the growth, it's very empowering for us.
It really is, because grief, not a lot of people understand, but grief is a very isolating journey. I mean, you know, for listeners that are tuning in today, I'd love for you to reflect back on moments of loss you've had in your life and how many people have told you at some point you got to get over it, or you got to move on, or you got to let go of it. Life keeps going. I had a lady this morning tell me that one of her closest family members, after losing her spouse of 51 years, said, "You got to pull it together today when we go to the service." When we hear comments like that, we're not really given space. We don't feel safe, and we feel like we have to manage somebody else's emotions while we're trying to deal with our own. And I try to encourage people in those moments to reflect back on that, because if you're managing everybody else's emotions, but you're never giving yourself space to manage your own, you're never ever really going to work through your grief in a way that you can move forward. It's always going to be something you're ashamed of, or you have guilt for, or you're blaming yourself for not feeling good enough to move on. So I always try to encourage people, when you're feeling those things, try to let go of those to give yourself space, because it's that old adage of airplanes, you got to put your mask on first to take care of other people. So take care of yourself first.
And the other thing is, don't buy into society's perception that grief is time limited and needs to be over within a year. However long it takes for a person to get from the raw pain of loss to a point in their lives where they have accepted, and acceptance does not mean closure, that they have accepted that this is my life moving forward, and I'm willing to engage in life with meaning in spite of the fact that my loved one is no longer physically present, that it's going to take as long as it's going to take for that process to occur. So as long as there's movement, there should not be any pressure from anybody to speed up that process or invalidate the process by saying you've got to get over it, because they may be uncomfortable with the emotionality that is involved with any type of traumatic loss. And in this society, anything that does not qualify as happiness tends to get invalidated if it's expressed for a long period of time.
You know, Dave, you brought up a good point, and I'm glad you brought it up early in the podcast today, is that word acceptance. That's a big word that grievers struggle with a lot. And it's because it's a very painful one when you're in the throes of grief and you just went through a loss like I did, losing my grandfather, losing my child. Hearing that word acceptance brings out a lot of anger and frustration. I had a coaching call with somebody yesterday that I talked to them about acceptance. And they said, I'm having a really hard time understanding a process of how these things happen for me instead of to me. And I told her, this all starts with acceptance. And acceptance doesn't mean, by the way, that we like it and we agree to it. And we just say, okay, well, that was an experience we had in life. I can move on. Acceptance isn't about that. What it really is that we accept the situation strictly for what it is, not what we think it is, and not what we attach our emotions to. But we have to find that place of acceptance to say, this is what God dealt to me. And it's not fair. It's not easy. It's not kind. I don't like this. I don't agree to it, but I get that it happened and it is what it is. And I'll say that that process, by the way, some people can do that in a month. Other people, it takes 10 years. There is no time limit to when you find acceptance. So don't feel pressured like you have to figure that out right away. That's the wrong way to do it in a lot of ways. You've got to figure out what that time frame is for you. And grief is a very personal journey. There is no 12-step program for it. There is no Chris can tell you all the answers and guide you down the path to figure it out. It doesn't work like that. It's one of a personal journey you've got to figure out. And that's where having people, you know, like Dave and myself, and there's lots of us out there, but having somebody to walk that journey with you and make sure that when you are finding that journey and that path and what it looks like, that you've got support there for you, because you will find it.
Yeah. And you also mentioned life isn't fair. I've learned that fairness isn't a measure of the quality of our human experience, because things are going to happen that aren't going to be fair. But we didn't come into this world to experience the difference between what's fair and what's unfair. We came into this world and we are destined to experience a series of challenges that were going to test us. But at the same time, that we had a choice to either let those challenges overtake us or transcend those challenges to find meaning. And the quality of life, and I saw this meme, Chris, that we are given a life. It's neither good or bad. Whether it's good or bad, whether we live a good or a bad life, and I'm paraphrasing now, is up to us. Whether our life is determined to be good or bad is up to us. With the transition of my daughter, and I call it transition to a new experience, I learned that life isn't necessarily fair, but, I struggled with that for quite a while. But then I said, what type of meaning do I want to find as a result of this? What kind of life do I want to live moving forward? Once I made that decision, I was able to eventually find peace with what had happened and acceptance, but at the same time, understanding that grieving is a lifelong process and that we are going to yearn and experience the sadness of grief, regardless of how long that loss has occurred, depending on what's going on in our life at that particular moment. And I've learned to accept that and in some ways embrace it for what it has to teach me.
It's a very powerful statement, Dave. And I remember you sharing your story about your daughter, and I'm very sorry for how that loss occurred. But you brought up a very good point about, you know, healing doesn't have a time frame on it. There's no expiration date on that. And like you said, healing is a lifelong journey. And it's amazing to me, you know, that society, social construct, you know, really requires us to put that in a box and a time frame. And in reality, it's a lifelong journey. And that's something that I loved when I first met you, that you talked about. We have to find ways to celebrate and honor those that we lose. And that's really one of the key parts of us to, I loosely say heal. I don't like to say we fully heal because I don't think that exists, but there is a way forward for us on this healing journey. And that way forward oftentimes can be celebrating that person that we lost in our life, or even discovering what I like to call in my coaching practice, the gifts, the lessons, and the blessings out of that moment. Because even in the darkest moments, and I'll, you know, Dave and I have lost a kid, so I can share on the deepest level of that, because that's a very hard pain to go through. There are always are gifts and lessons and blessings in that moment, even when we don't want to see it.
Yeah.
That can be very hard to hear early on in grief. So I want to acknowledge that, but I'll say that they will show themselves to you when you're ready and on your time, when it's meant to be. And when you do find those, it becomes this thing that we celebrate and we honor. And it's a grief process that moves us forward in our life.
Absolutely. And my condolences for the loss of your grandfather and loss of your son. Your son's name is Caden, am I correct?
It is, yes.
Good, my memory still hasn't failed me yet. So one of the things that's important as well is that whether you're a grief coach, whether you're a therapist, whether you're just simply a companion on the journey, make it a point to say your the loved one's name, make it a point to address them by name. Even if you're working with a client ongoing, make a note in your case notes or your summary notes in terms of the name of the person that they've lost, because saying their name is very powerful. It tells that person that, yeah, we remember, and we will honor your son, your daughter, your brother, your sister, your grandfather, your grandmother for as long as we live.
I think that's very powerful, because that's something that a lot of people refrain from in the throes of grief, or even people that are trying to be around and support you as you grieve. In the loss community, that's one of the biggest challenges, because a lot of people get very uncomfortable and very uneased talking about the death of a child. It's one of those things that if you haven't experienced that, you truly don't know what that's like. And it can make you very uncomfortable. It can make you very uneased and just not sure how to respond or speak or say things. That I can say lost parents a lot, that's what they really want to have happen, is remember your child's name, remember who they are. I always say lost parents don't want you to think about it as it was an experience and a thing that happened, but they want you to see it as they were a life, they were a person. They had an impact on their life. They're never going to be forgotten. And I think that's one of the biggest things in the lost community I've seen, that when you hold space for somebody and give them that, as Dave was saying, it's a big, big gift, bigger than you know about.
Absolutely. My next question for you is, how specifically have the losses and challenges that you've experienced, how has it helped you find your greater purpose in your life?
I'm glad you asked that, because I had a podcast guest early on in my podcast help me answer that question. And I'll share with you guys, when I left the hospital without my son, Caden, I was very, very angry. I've never been that angry before in my life. I don't ever care to go there again, because that was a very scary place. But I got to a traffic light outside the hospital, and I went from anger to complete calm in my brain in about 0.2 of a second. And I didn't fully understand it. This guest on my podcast shared with me, said, "You broke your brain in that moment. You shattered what was up here." And that moment when you shattered it, by the way, your brain had to rebuild itself. And that's why you struggled so much to figure out what your path was. These experiences for me, when they happened, I had my whole life fall apart after I lost my child. I had lost my job 3 months prior. I ended up having to sell my house. My wife and I grieved very differently, but it was very, very hard for us to function and be normal. Normal in a sense of what society says. What happened to me to find my path is I ended up on podcasts back in December and January of this year, and I started sharing my story for once. And I started getting this response from complete strangers across the world telling me to share my story with people and start my own podcast. And where I found out that this is my path to go is that I learned, when I reflected back on my life, that my grandfather dying was not a bad thing. It was a gift. When my son died, it was an even bigger gift. And those gifts, by the way, was that grief always followed me. It always found me. It found a way to what I saw as always hurt me in life and hamper me in life. And when I finally looked at grief and where it took me, I realized that grief is part of me. It's part of who I am. It's been a part of my life my whole time I've lived. It's never been away. And so I had to start facing that. And that's where all my job losses, people I've lost in my life, they were all setting me up for a greater purpose. And once I figured out what that was after going through losing my son, I said, my job's to hold space for people. My job is to go out in the world that says, here's the way. it's not working for everybody. Go this way. And so my job is to show people there's another way. My job is to hold space for people to understand grief, understand it for themselves, not what everybody else thinks. And my job is to help people see the beauty in the hardest moments of life and empower them to create a new future.
That's well said and beautifully said. And I think, Chris, you're walking proof that out of tragedy, love and compassion can bloom out of the deepest of pain. And we can share that with virtual strangers on the path. But in reality, we're not strangers when we're talking about grief as being the common denominator. Everybody is going to experience loss. I've run into people who've experienced the death of a child that I didn't know, but once we knew we had that common bound, they immediately became part of my circle, even if just for a moment in time. So really, we are bound by our worst pains. And that bond can be, as I like to call it, a gateway to hope, a gateway to acceptance, a gateway to just finding peace.
I love the way you said that, because I've shocked people when I told them that my son is my greatest gift. And I've had a couple people say, but you lost a stillborn. You lost a child. That's got to be hard. And I always say, it is hard. And I'll share this too. All those feelings of that moment, all that anger, that frustration, that sadness, that pain, it's all there. It's always there. If I want to go visit it, it's always there. I can always go there. But I always say that, you know, if you visit those things, grief has the power to create and destroy. That's what it's got. And it's really up to you what choice you want to make. Now, I'm not saying you can't go back to those feelings, because sometimes going back there is a great reminder and a great place for you to learn and grow. But you can also at the same time have gratitude and compassion and empathy about that experience. And honoring my son is one of the main reasons I do what I do. And so I have nothing but love and compassion for that. I also have that when I see people who are going through trauma now. I have understanding. I have empathy. It's one of the things he taught me, by the way. And so it changes your world if you see the beauty in grief.
Yeah, and if you let grief be a teacher as opposed to being an enemy, you can grow because of the challenges that we've had to deal with because of our losses. But if you see it as the enemy, you're not going to deal with it. And what you don't deal with is going to come back and surface anyway until you deal with it, period. So I kind of figured, okay, if my grief and pain are going to be around, I might as well make friends with it, try to learn from it and honor it for what it is. Honor the yin and honor the yang and learn from all of it.
That's beautifully said, Dave. I love how you said that, because that's exactly... When you treat grief like an enemy, by the way, and I always say, if you try to suppress it, it will try to come out. And when it does come out, it will come out in the worst possible moment of life. And that can be taking off on a complete stranger over something that reminded you of it. It could be talking to somebody who experienced something similar. That grief, when you don't handle it and give it space to just be, it will come out in very vicious ways. And so instead of making it an enemy, make it your teacher, like Dave said, make it your friend. It's got a lot to offer you.
Yeah, it does, if you allow it to. And the other thing I have to say, and this is something that I think parents who have experienced the death of a newborn child or a miscarriage, one of the misperceptions, and this is something that I tell my death and dying students at Utica University, a death because of a miscarriage loss or newborn loss is a child death. It is not a lost pregnancy. A lot of individuals might come and say, hey, you know, you can have another child, but you can't. And it basically undermines the child that you lost. Now, my wife and I have never experienced a loss due to newborn death or miscarriage loss. But I was talking to my wife about the whole world of miscarriage and newborn loss. And she said, you know, when I found out I was pregnant, that child became my child immediately. I bonded. We talked, we soothed each other. That was my child from conception. And that is something that I think the world needs to understand, because sometimes I think there's misperception that a newborn death or a miscarriage loss is a lost pregnancy, but in fact, it's a lost child and it needs to be treated and honored as such.
I really appreciate you saying that, Dave. I mean that from a deep place, because as in the Lost community, especially with everything going on in the world today around the topic of abortion, we can save that for another table day, but it caused a lot of pain for Lost parents because it writes off their loss in a lot of ways. And as you just said about your wife, when that child, even if it's a few weeks old, women can feel that. And there's a natural human primal instinct that we all have that comes out when a child's being in that creative phase of life to become a birth. It's still a life. And I still remember, you know, my son, I've never forgotten this. I think it was probably the second trimester when that happened. But I remember holding my wife's belly and his little fingers, which were smaller than mine, but I remember brushing across my hand. And I remember sitting there laughing as I went, whoa, alien moment. But when I did that moment, you know, I sat there and said, holy cow, I have a child. I have a life. I said, wow, this is amazing. But when that gets wiped out through a stillborn or a miscarriage, it is a loss. It's a loss of a life. My wife and many lost parents I've talked to, that's why we can't get over it. That's why we can't move on. We can't forget it. We can't, because women in particular, they have to carry the child for 9 months. It's not like this separate thing from them. It's with them. And so it's important to honor and give space to them in that moment. And I've talked to parents that have had miscarriages and stillbirths, and I tell every single one of them, one loss isn't worse than the other, in my opinion. A loss is a loss. And whatever that means for you is where I hold space.
Absolutely. And infertility loss is another form of grief that tends to get overlooked. I have an ex-colleague of mine who went through infertility loss, and it's a grief as deep and as painful as any other grief you'll ever experience. And that's something that also needs to be honored, and more awareness needs to be created with the issues surrounding that as well, too. So,
yeah, and I wanted to point out, since you talked about it, Dave, because I've talked to parents like you that have lost a child, and I remember Janine, you told me about her and her story, and I am very sorry for your loss that you had with her, because what I've come to find is I don't care if your kid was 37 years old, 40 years old, 23 mm-hmm. years old, teenager. Doesn't matter. When you lose a child, it's hard. It's very, very hard. And it hits you very different from losing a parent. It hits you different from losing a friend. It's something that I've learned along that line, that us in the lost community of parents experience a very unique form of loss. And it's important, by the way, if you ever do go through that, I encourage you to be part of, let's call it the club we don't want to be part of, because that's what us lost parents say. But lost parents, they just get it and they understand it. And it's going to come from a very heart-centered place when you talk to a lost parent.
Absolutely. Our greatest sadness and pain becomes our most deepest compassion for others. And when we're doing the work, I believe that's the type of transformation we see emotionally in terms of a metamorphosis of our emotions, but there's also a metamorphosis of our thought process, our beliefs, everything that we stood for, the pieces that we build our foundation with after loss are different, and they need to be, because if we try to build the same house 20 years later with outdated materials, that house is going to crumble. So my foundation now, after Janine's transition, is much different, but it reflects the cognitive growth that I've done, the belief expansion that I've done, the different perspectives that I've done to reassess my priorities and values. That's what my foundation is like now. And that's the foundation that has been the basis, the building blocks for me to embrace acceptance of my world as it is.
I'm really glad you just shared that, because grief in my eyes, after going through the losses I have, it's a personal transformation journey. It really is. And that's why I don't see death anymore as this negative thing society shares. I think it's completely different the way Dave just talked about it. When you do go through a loss, by the way, one of the biggest sources of pain and suffering I'll share is you're holding on to who you were before you lost that person. You're clinging to it. And I don't blame you guys at all for that, because I was there. I did it myself. I'm no different from you. And what I will say, though, is you're being pushed into this new version of yourself, but you haven't met that person yet. So it's very unknown. It's very uncertain. And it is very scary in a lot of ways, because you're being forced to question your beliefs, question your priorities, question what you want to put focus on and where you don't want to put focus. and you're having to rebuild yourself. I always like to call it the 2.0 version of who you are. And you'll find, this is why I always say acceptance in the grief process and why it's transformational, is that who you become after this loss, if you make that choice to become somebody great, then we all have that option. Like Dave said, we get choices here. When you accept that part of this was part of my journey and grief is my teacher and I have a lot to learn from this, that loss that you had, it will propel you in ways you'll never see coming. I'm not the same person I was before I lost my son. I'm not the same person. I'm not even the same person before I lost my grandfather. I'm not even that version of myself. And something that my grandfather taught me growing up, and I never fully understood it till going through grief, losing him and losing my son, is that he had this phrase growing up. He said, you'll never be the same person at 25 that you will be at 30. You'll never be the same person at 40 that you were at 30, and so on and so forth as you go through life. You're always going to experience different experiences of life. There's going to be different challenges. There's going to be things that push you and force you in different ways. And you're going to learn from those things and you're going to get better. And it's uncomfortable all the time. But to hold on to that old version of yourself will mean that you will miss out on experiences of life. And so it's important to give yourself space and give yourself compassion and empathy to step into that new version that grief is going to give you.
And you may not be the same person today than you were yesterday. That's how drastic the transition can be, and that's how stark it can be. If you asked me to describe myself at age 47, which was the age that my daughter transitioned, you'd need a search party to find that person. I wouldn't even be able to recognize him or conceptualize who that person was. And that's because of the effect that loss and other challenges have had in my life. Every challenge that we have, every loss that we have, demands that we take a look at the landscape of our lives, the landscape of our beliefs and our priorities, and continually reassess. And it doesn't matter what the challenge is. Challenge is going to mandate that we do that.
And that's what I learned from you when you shared your story about Janine with me when we first met. I saw that in you. And I cannot believe how much power she gave you after losing her, because I see the work that you do and I see it coming out in the podcast today because of the way you lost her and because of what you found purpose and meaning through that grief journey. And even how you teach today at the university, she guided you on a path with that loss. So it wasn't, I can just tell it wasn't a bad experience in many ways. She gave you such a powerful gift. And for you to be out there changing the world in the ways that you're doing that, her life means everything because of that. It's powerful. Well,
and she's still with me doing it. I mean, I tell everybody, you get a package deal when you get me. You get me and you get my daughter. But not only do you get my daughter, you get also my other ancestors who have gone to the afterlife. You get my father, you get my mother, you get my maternal grandma, you get them all. You know, it's like the universal oneness. You know, I mean, I have literally a group of, I call them spiritual advisors and individuals who inspire me and continue to inspire me. And they're a part of everything that I do. But I didn't understand that until after the transition of my daughter. I realized that not only is Janine with me, but everybody who has been a part of my life is also with me. And that was part of the learning and growth. So, okay, I'm going to shift gears here for a second. You're an acceptance coach. Okay, so let's assume for a minute I'm a person in need of your services. Okay, what can I expect from you as a coach? What can I expect that you're going to give me as a coach? And what are your expectations for me as a client?
So my only expectations of my clients, and I'll start there, is that you show up in your authentic version of who you are. I always tell my clients that you have a safe place with me. This is your, I always use this background in Zoom, but I say, this is your safe place. Nobody else exists outside of this between you and me. So whatever way that you need to share your story, whatever way you're grieving, wherever you are in your life, I don't care, but show up as that, because I don't want you to come muffling yourself or muting yourself or toning yourself down. I don't want you to do that, because I want you to be you. Because when you coach with me, you'll find out we get down deep and we get into the core of things, because that's where we can find growth and that's where we can create transformation. When I coach my clients, I lead with compassion. I lead with empathy. There is no judgment. It doesn't exist. I have respect for everybody's journey, no matter where you are. I've coached people from people who have lost somebody 5 weeks ago all the way to I lost somebody 10 years ago. everybody's journey is very different, and it's different for a reason, because you have to find that out as we go through coaching. When I operate my coaching sessions, I usually lead by what is going on right now with you. What kind of challenges are you having, or what kind of things are your focus? I ask very powerful, deep questions, but I let the conversation be guided by you, because ultimately, this is your time. I always like to tell coaching clients, these aren't big, expensive phone calls. This is a place for you to grow. It's a place for you to evolve. It's a place for you to question yourself. But it's a place for you to get real with yourself without filters, without muting yourself down. This is to be you. I've had a lot of clients that I simply hold space. I probably talk 30% of the time on a coaching call. That's it, at max. And I do that on purpose, because I believe everybody has answers inside them. They just need questions to be asked to pull that stuff out. And when you're given a safe place, as I like to say, feel seen, heard, and understood, that's where you can unlock those out of yourself.
And I think the best coaches and therapists I know are the best listeners I know, because if you are going to establish a relationship with a client and understand the full picture before you can offer your observations, you have to establish yourself as a listener, get all aspects of their story out, let them get all aspects of their story out, and then reflect and present observations in terms of some strategies or suggestions or even a contract for engaging in a coaching-client relationship. But it all starts with establishing ourselves as listeners. If we're talking, we're not listening.
Exactly. And, you know, part of the thing with my coaching, we go deep in my coaching calls, I'll say that, but we're dealing with a lot of things. We're not just dealing with your grief, by the way, or trauma or your loss you went through. We're also dealing with all the conditioning, the belief systems, the constructs, everything that you've been forced onto you. And we're trying to peel all that crap off you to figure out who are you? Because I don't care what everybody told you. That I don't care about. I care about what's inside you that has not been let out. And I care about the version of you, the real authentic version. I have a client right now, by the way, who's just went through a divorce, had it finalized last week. And she has a very hard time understanding her voice and seeing and hearing her voice. And every time she does, which is why what Dave just said, I listen more than I talk on my coaching calls. And I always say, did you hear your voice come out? Did you see that? Did you feel it? And I always use that, because when I get people to see themselves, a lot of times people like step back and they go, whoa, like, what is this? It's weird. You're just not used to seeing your full self. And so I'm very passionate about, I want you to meet yourself. I want you to believe in yourself. I want you to give yourself space, because you're a beautiful person. I don't care what walk of life you had or what loss you had. I care about you and what's real there. And if my space and coaching can be the one place you get to be you, let's grow that thing so you can go out in the world and do beautiful things.
And carrying whatever memories you have of your loved one, you know, with you, and making that person a part of who you are. And again, in a divorce situation, obviously you can't do that, but she could still take a look at the strengths that she developed in her own relationship with her marriage, what she did well, and carry that forth in terms of reengaging in life with meaning again.
Most certainly.
I read on your website about the Empowered Grief Collective, and I'm just curious in terms of how this one complements the coaching services you offer, and how it complements the mission of your podcast.
So the Empowered Grief Collective is a group coaching program that I'm still putting together today in transparency. But what I decided to do with that is create a group coaching environment, because what I've learned on my own personal journey is that when you can find other people that have gone through loss like you, and you find somebody that you can relate with, you will actually find a better path forward on your healing journey. And so I thought of nothing better than to create a group coaching space where we can pull together people who've gone through maybe divorce or child loss like I have, or it doesn't matter where loss is in life, but bring people from these different avenues and different perspectives of life together. Because my biggest belief is that we all have something to learn from one another. It doesn't matter what your walk of life is, what's your education, it doesn't matter, because we all have different experiences, and those are all to be celebrated equally. So I always say, I don't like to compare grief journeys. Everybody's different. When we put people together in that collective and we see that everybody has a different background, a different experience, a different way of communicating, it's going to resonate with somebody, might not resonate with another, but it'll match the person it's meant to match to. And so I do weekly coaching sessions in that collective for everybody. I jump on for an hour and I give usually a lesson of grief that I've learned, but I also open it up to question and answer dialogue, because everybody's healing and growing at different rates and different paces. And that's where we can create this community. And when we have a community of people, by the way, we're not alone. Grief doesn't have to be isolating. Grief can be something we walk this journey together. And how powerful is that?
Yeah, and I think of a quote from Ram Dass, and I've said this on the podcast before, is we're all just walking each other home. And that's what we're doing. When we're in grief, we walk hand in hand with the person down the path that they're choosing to manifest, that's been created, or they're choosing to walk. And we can always walk the path with them, but we can't walk it for them.
Exactly. And since you brought it up, Dave, I have to share too. I'm actually putting an anthology book together with 22 people from my podcast of various walks of grief. This book's going to be very powerful, but to your point, the book itself is going to be called The Empowered Grief Collective. And it's 23 stories of grief stories and healing journeys that move people forward in life. And I'm writing it to celebrate and honor my son, but more importantly, there's no better way for me to do that than to have 22 people plus me sharing our grief stories and honoring the people that we've lost in our life and how grief has shaped us. I've been very honored and blessed to have that opportunity with these individuals.
Well, it sounds like that when the book is published, we're going to have a follow-up podcast to talk about the Empowered Grief Collective anthology.
I would love that if you're open to it.
Of course I am. I'm always open to follow-up podcast visits and episodes, provided that my guest contributors are. So yeah, I'm always open for more conversation.
I love that. Well, I've been very blessed on this journey, and I appreciate you asking those questions about my coaching services and where this is, because the Empowered Grief journey, you know, I'll share with you, Dave, it is much, much bigger than me. I always make this joke that it's not the Chris Mamone show. This journey is for everyone, and grief doesn't discriminate. Grief doesn't take sides. Grief is universal experience that we're all going to go through at some point. And so I figure, let's create this platform, this space for people to come and grieve and understand the process and find who they are through it. Because together, as you said, you know, we're walking each other home. We're not showing them the way. And when we live in that space of doing it together, that's where the beauty and the magic of grief comes.
I agree. One of my last questions for you today is, if you're going to leave our listeners with one thing today, and you've left our listeners with a lot already, but the one ultimate or penultimate thing you want to leave our listeners with today, what would that be?
Well, Dave, that's a powerful question. What I would leave you listeners with is the following bit of advice. Your grief journey is your journey alone, and nobody is going to be able to tell you how to do it, nor should they tell you how to do it. I want you guys to give yourself empathy. I want you guys to give yourself space, and I want yourselves to give yourself grace as you go through your grief journey. There's going to be moments where this journey is very, very heavy and very, very hard, and there's going to be days where it feels like life can be normal. I want you to know that in between all of those changes is exactly where you need to be. My grandfather always told me this, that if you keep your eyes open and your ears listening, you'll never be surprised what opportunities come by your life. And as you go through your grief journey, when you do that as you're grieving, you will be surprised what comes on your path. And it will be things that you need. And grief will point you in the direction of life where you need to go in your alignment. So I want to leave you guys with that. Keep your eyes open and your ears listening, but be kind to yourself as you grow.
Yes, if we can't be kind to, we have to be kind to ourselves and love ourselves, I think, before we can love others.
Well said, Dave.
And finally, if individuals want to contact you, follow your podcast, and contract for services that you provide, what's the best way for them to get in touch with Chris Mamone?
You guys can go to my website, empoweredgriefjourney.com. I have a link to my podcast there and information about myself, my story, and also my coaching offerings. I'm very, very active on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok. So if you guys search Empowered Grief Journey, you'll find me. My Facebook user handle is the Chris Mamoni, but my other handles are at Empowered Grief Journey. I encourage you guys to come on and connect and share your stories, because I have had nothing but the blessed opportunity to connect with some beautiful people across the world in different cultures, different continents, and different belief structures around grief. So it's been a blessing to have built the community that I have. So I want to invite you guys to come join me.
Yeah, and I would really encourage my listeners to check out Chris's services, check out his website, check out his podcast. He's doing some very impactful work in the grief world. Chris, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to spend it with me and my listeners. I enjoyed our conversation, and I look forward to more in the future.
Well, Dave, I want to say thank you very much for having me a guest. This was truly an honor to be on your podcast, and I just want to thank you for the great conversation today.
My pleasure. And with that, that is a wrap on another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts, wishing you peace.